is Nightline.
Tonight, rocking the youth vote. We're on the ground in three swing states, following the next generation, first-time voters to young organizers, letting their voices be heard.
I just put my first presidential ballot in. Look at me. I'm doing my civic duty.
What's energizing them to show up at the polls? And will 2020 be the year of the young voter? Plus, the final sprint to Election Day. Donald Trump and Joe Biden courting crucial votes, and how the Democrats may take back the Senate. Our political experts break it all down. Coming out in droves to their polling sites, young Americans casting their ballots in this year's presidential election. Early voting numbers suggesting they are a force to be reckoned with. So why are so many of them making a move this time around? Here's Nightline's Ashin Singh.
I'm going to vote. I'm so excited.
Woo. It's 50 degrees right outside of Philly, and it is nasty out. But a little bit of bad weather wasn't going to stop Cameron Davis and her grandmother from celebrating the 20-year-old's birthday.
And so what are we doing to celebrate?
I'm going to vote.
You're going to vote.
How do you feel? You feel excited?
I'm ready to get it. I'm excited.
Spending your birthday at a polling location may not seem like the coolest way to celebrate. But for millions of young people this year, voting is actually the hip thing to do.
Look at me. I'm doing my civic duty.
This election, something's in the air. From celebrities like Snoop Dogg.
Your voter registration is now complete.
To Tyler, the Creator, admitting that this will be their first time voting.
And a lot of y'all gonna be like, my vote doesn't matter, and they're gonna pick who they want.
Not to mention AOC gaming to get out the vote to the tune of nearly 500,000 viewers on Twitch.
You guys can call me AOC. Mike Pence can't call me AOC.
Even organizations, both grassroots and national, driving young people to the polls both literally and figuratively. Hosting COVID-safe block parties and engaging in social media, public art, even streetwear. With more than 6 million young people already voting in this year's election, is this the year the youth vote finally shows up?
Just voting.
Either way, it's clear that now, more than ever, it's not cool to not care anymore. How important do you think the youth vote is in this year's election?
Well, because the youth vote is usually so low, a lot of enthusiasm from young voters can make a really big difference. And I think the difference could be especially big in a couple of key swing states.
Nightline traveled to three battleground states to look at how and why young people across the country are hoping to move the needle on November 3rd. Back in Pennsylvania, Cameron and her grandmother are teaching me a vote dance she made up to celebrate her ballot. For almost 20 years, Cameron's home state has gone to the Democrats, until Trump flipped the state red in 2016. While 538's election forecast has Joe Biden favored at the moment, voters like Cameron, who have been concerned with the president's handling of the pandemic and racial justice, aren't taking their vote for granted.
So you think there's a lot at stake here?
There is a lot. I don't believe that we will progress as a country, as a nation, if we continue to go in the direction that we're going in with the president that we're going with.
I have to add a caption because
Cameron, the power of social media has made the act of voting that much more exciting.
It's limited to do things in person right now. I wanted to try to get people's attention about voting, but make it fun. As long as it catches their attention, they're gonna listen to the message that's behind it.
1, 2, 3.
The influence of TikTok and Instagram on this year's election is something that organizations small and large are banking on to drive up registration numbers. Early voting's open in Atlanta, and at the Urban League's Pull Up to the Polls event, it's part policy and part, well, party. 24-year-old community organizer Julius Thomas is just one of the many who helped put this together.
This is an election of our lifetimes. This is so important to get young people excited and energized to vote and find new and creative ways just keep people engaged.
His home state of Georgia is changing, and it's largely due to shifting demographics of Atlanta and its surrounding areas. The state has been solidly Republican for almost 25 years. But Hillary Clinton's performance in 2016 surprised everyone. Now, 5 538's got the Peach State as a true toss-up.
So I think it's important to say for our forecast that it's not a crystal ball. But yeah, Georgia's very close right now.
After the passing of John Lewis and C.T. Vivian, this city does not want their work to go in vain. We want to show them that we're ready to carry the torch and that we're doing it in a cool, fun, and exciting, hip way that only Atlanta can do.
Julius is focused on getting first-time voters registered and to the polls. Like Marcus Neely Jr. At 25, he's voting in his first presidential election.
I was too young when Obama was in there his last term, which was in the next term. I was kind of discouraged, so I didn't vote. So this is my first time voting.
What's going through your mind as you're about to go vote for the first time?
I'm not gonna lie, I'm excited.
In any given election, between 35 to 60% of eligible voters just don't vote. And young people are a big part of the problem. 538's Amelia Thompson DeVoe has been studying what keeps people from the polls.
So a lot of the people that we actually talked to may have been eligible in 2016, but for whatever reason, just decided not to vote. Now they're not only registering early, they're voting early. Why do you think that is?
Sometimes it's a sense that politics just isn't worth it, that they don't think it matters, they didn't like the candidates. Sometimes it's kind of a mix of the two. And so I think what we're seeing this year is that people really think it's important to vote.
For Marcus, it took the outcome of the 2016 race for him to wake up.
After 2016, did you feel guilty for not having voted at all?
Definitely, because it's people that, like, such as felons who can't vote or people that are not old enough that are very passionate about voting and they can't vote, and I can vote and I'm not voting.
What does it mean to you to see your communities get activated, both being a person of color and being a young person?
It means a lot because it's setting a good example for the younger generation, so we don't ever get discouraged again to not vote and feel like our vote doesn't count.
Yo, you did it.
I did.
How'd it go?
Well, it was quick, easy.
That's my vote.
Yeah, how you feel? You feel relieved? Feels good. You got the sticker.
300 miles away, the race in the Tar Heel State is heating up.
So we're driving through North Carolina right now, and political scientists are calling this the swingiest of swing states. I mean, on top of a presidential election, you have a Republican senator and a Democratic governor both fighting for re-election. This is the definition of a purple state in 2020.
24-year-old Republican and aspiring politician Catherine Whiteford is working hard to keep the president and her party in office.
Hey there, I hope you consider voting for Representative John Hardister.
We've done over 500,000 voter contacts this year alone to try to make sure that not only do we win the presidency, but also down ballot, because down ballot is also important.
3-2-1.
Today she's canvassing for her friend, 38-year-old state rep John Hardister, outside of the polls.
What's you guys' plan here today?
Talking to the voters, trying to convince them to vote for him and the Republican ticket.
Cautious optimism is the name of the game for Republicans in North Carolina. Trump took the state in 2016, but this time, 538 has Biden ahead, but just barely.
I think in North Carolina and in states across the country, we're seeing people really concerned about the pandemic and about the economy, just the state of the world right now. And Trump has not gotten good marks on his handling of the pandemic in particular. It's a real weak spot for him.
How do you think President Trump has handled the pandemic?
I think that under the circumstances, they tried to handle it as best as they could. We see that Biden is trying to propose a lot of what Trump has already been doing.
You're a first-generation Chinese-American.
Does it bother you, some of the rhetoric that's come across about the virus from the Republican Party and from President Trump? Kung flu, China virus, there have been an increase in attacks on people of Asian descent since coronavirus has kind of impacted this country. Does that bother you at all?
I mean, I can't really speak to Chinese people being targeted per se, just because I haven't personally seen that. But as far as like calling it the China virus, I mean, from all that we know currently, it probably did come from China. And they didn't handle it well, and they were probably trying to suppress a lot of information. I think that it's fair to call it the China virus. I don't personally feel insulted by it.
How about Kung flu?
That I'm not as comfortable with, but I mean, the China virus is a fair statement.
A week before Election Day, and Catherine couldn't be busier. But she was kind enough to take a break from her day to try a Greensboro institution. Yum, yum.
Amazing.
Talk to me about this place. I mean, there's a lot going on leading up to November 3rd.
You know, it is a swing state. I think a lot of people have said that North Carolina is a red state, and I don't think that's true. Especially we've seen in 2018 that wasn't true. But I think there's still the opportunity for Republicans to win in North Carolina.
Do you worry that the state could actually flip this year?
I mean, I'm definitely worried about it, but I'm trying to do everything that I can to make sure that that doesn't happen.
It's absolutely delicious.
So this is why I got the cup.
I knew what I was doing. I'm not making a mess eating ice cream. Am I really eating ice cream?
Let's show them who we are.
And it's no secret that the candidates are noticing the energy coming from young people this year.
Here's how you can spot a zombie.
Both Trump,
someone who has a corpse-like appearance.
He absolutely has an issue with the truth.
And Biden appealing to the youth vote with goofy ads and memes across social media and YouTube. No matter what side of the aisle you sit on, or if you don't sit in one at all, whether you've done it before or if it's your first time, this November 3rd, the choice is ours.
What issues are most important to you in this year's election?
I want to see how our presidents handle the race relations currently in this country and the seriousness of this pandemic.
It's not even a matter of do you want Biden or do you want Trump? It's a matter of do you want socialism or do you want a free society? And I feel like there's a lot of people who feel like me.
You think now in 2020, in the middle of a racial reckoning with this country, in the middle of a pandemic in this country, that it's cool to actually vote?
Yes, I believe it's actually been cool to vote.
Do you think your vote matters?
Yes.
Why?
My vote matters. It has the power to sway elections, and it also has the power to influence a bunch of other people to make their voices heard. I can post about it. I can dance while I'm doing it. I can tell the world that I'm doing it. Look at me. I'm voting.
Our thanks to Ashen. Coming up, breaking down the latest on the race for the White House.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
We're 5 days away from Election Day, so how are Donald Trump and Joe Biden faring in the home stretch? A Quinnipiac University poll just out today showing Biden leading in three battleground states, Florida, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, while President Trump is up just 1 point in Iowa. To further break down the state of the race, earlier this evening, I spoke with ABC News contributor Tara Setmayer and Sarah Fagan, CEO of Deep Root Analytics. Tara and Sarah, thanks so much for joining us. And first question to you, Sarah. We've seen consistent polling across the battleground states for several weeks now showing President Trump behind. Is time running out for him to move the needle in his favor?
It is starting to run out. There just aren't enough days yet to really close the gap. I think the big X factor, though, is what is turnout going to be? So if you look at the polling, certainly it does not look promising for the president. But that assumes that every one of those polls has a turnout projection, you know, that fits the poll. It is possible that you could see an incredible number of people show up on Election Day. It's possible for the president to win the tied states and, you know, perhaps pick up a Pennsylvania or Michigan. I don't know that that scenario is likely, but I do think it's possible.
And Tara, with the surge of voters mailing in ballots this year, many crucial swing states won't have an official tally until days after the election. Do you think we'll have a winner on Tuesday?
Well, I think that depends on which states we find out about. If we see that there's a Biden win in Florida or Georgia, or that it's even close in Texas, I think that we'll have a sense of the momentum of this race. A state like Pennsylvania, a little bit more challenging since they cannot begin counting the vote until the day of Election Day or after, and it may take a little while. So folks need to be patient, but we'll get a sense of where things are depending on who wins what states early.
Sarah, Trump is trailing Biden in several battleground states where COVID is rising, like Wisconsin, which has had a 16% increase in hospitalization in the past week. How big of an issue will COVID be on Tuesday?
Well, I think there's sort of two factors here, and the impact is both among seniors, which are significant populations in states like Wisconsin and Iowa, which also has, unfortunately, a high caseload right now. So that's been persistent. And I think that's why you've seen a state like Iowa be tied for most of this fall, or maybe at best the president's up a couple points. And then, of course, the rising COVID cases in the last week, I think, have really kept those states tight or him behind in the case of Wisconsin.
And Tara, with the COVID factor, with big crowd gatherings to see President Trump, many folks maskless, is this strategy working where he needs it most?
I think that the president's irresponsibility and cavalier attitude toward COVID will be the ultimate demise of his reelection. COVID is raging across the country. 41 states have an increase in COVID cases. Wisconsin is setting up field hospitals. Their hospitals are overrun. El Paso is overrun. That's in Texas. So it is clear that the president, no matter how much he wishes it away, cannot get away from the impact of COVID because it impacts Americans' everyday lives. Between the economy and losing their loved ones, they live it and it's real for them.
Let's talk about the Senate races that are up for grabs next week. Lindsey Graham, Susan Collins, some of the biggest names in the Republican Party are in jeopardy of losing. Do you think the Senate will flip on Tuesday?
I think there's a real possibility that the Democrats take back the Senate. Lindsey Graham has been begging for money on Fox News and right-wing media. He's been outspent 2-1. Susan Collins has been fighting for her political life as well. Her unwillingness to involve herself or take a solid position during this administration or on Trump is hurting her in Maine. But the momentum is certainly on the side of the Democrats, and it's more of an uphill battle for the Republicans at this point.
And Sarah, same question to you. I mean, Lindsey Graham, he's royalty in South Carolina, right? I mean, is his seat really in jeopardy?
Well, you know, as Tara pointed out, he's being outspent, which is stunning. But look, I think at the end of the day, Lindsey Graham's going to get reelected. And I do think his handling of the Amy Coney Barrett Supreme Court hearings, I think really helped him in South Carolina. And so I think he'll be okay. But I believe the Senate is likely to go the way of the presidency.
And final question to you both. Almost 7 million young folks have early voted already. Which candidate is more likely to benefit from the youth vote?
Well, I think over the course of the last, you know, 20-some years, young people have tended Democratic by higher numbers. So that will benefit Biden. I think that is a long-term problem that the Republican Party has to address.
Tara, the last word.
Sarah's absolutely right. I mean, traditionally, 18 to 29-year-olds have a lower propensity to vote. But this time around, we're looking at a lot of first-time voters, voters who have grown up in the era of Parkland and school shootings, and they are motivated, and they're out there voting in exponentially larger numbers than they have in the past, particularly in places like Florida, Michigan, and Texas. So it's definitely advantage Biden.
Ladies, thank you both so much. Rest up. It's going to be a long few days.
All right. Thanks,
thank you,
Byron.
Thanks, guys. ABC News will be on the air on election night next week. Live coverage with our powerhouse political team starting at 7 Eastern, 6 Central, and 4 p.m. out west Tuesday. That's Nightline for this evening. See you right back here tomorrow, same time. Thanks for the company, America. Good night.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially four trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.